No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'll be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready to leave on my longest flight ever, 11 and a half hours.
In the back of the airplane.
Well, yeah, but I'm still flying in an airplane.
Okay.
Longest flight I've ever had, 11 and a half hours from L.A. to
Tokyo. Should get up and walk
around. Huh?
Should get up and walk around.
Well, yeah, I'll get off. I'll get up a little bit. And I'll
it's not good to sit
go
that
talk
long.
To the pilot and, you know, say, hey, you want me to take the controls? You want to take a little nap? Catch a movie? Oh, I got this thing
and
covered.
We'll be reading about that in the papers and on TV.
Well, yeah, would be.
Radio show host arrested when trying to access the cockpit on a trans-Pacific flight.
Well, it's Singapore Air. They're very friendly there. I think, I don't know, I've heard they're really nice on that airline. So I'll tell you all about it when I get back. But I am going to be flying here, and I'll be able to report back on it shortly. All right, so helping us out today, however, our buddy Dennis, who was at Air Venture, he talked about his experience last week on the big show. But this week, we also have not only Dennis, but Tom Haynes from AOPA. Guys, welcome to the big show. How are you?
I am well. Great to hear from you guys again. And nice to know that you're getting around the world, Greg. Yeah. But you know,
what? Yeah.
You could actually get in an airplane and fly yourself places like
well,
that.
Well, I will. I mean, you know, baby steps. You know, first it's
baby
big
steps.
Commuter planes.
You're
or,
moonwalking. You're going backwards, dude.
Commercial airliners. I think it's like one of those super Airbus things, too. I'm flying
listen
premium
to him changing the subject.
Economy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying.
It's
I'm doing
working.
The best I possibly can. Yeah, Dennis made, you know, he made reference of some kind of I don't know, collusion you two were getting together with at Air Venture that included me. I don't know what that entailed exactly, Dennis, but you made reference to it last week. So you care to enlighten the rest of the world here or what? What's going on?
Well,
what are you doing?
I ran into Tom at the AOPA tent on Sunday at Oshkosh Air Venture, and you unfortunately came up in our discussions.
In vain? Or?
Yes. Well, we both were talking, you know, you've been talking so long about flying and, you know, getting your pilot's license, and we can't seem to get you over the finish line. Mm-hmm. And there's always another excuse. So I got a trip here. I got no time here. All my medical's expired. Oops, now my written test has lapsed. And, you know, I asked Tom, it's like, how often do we see or, you know, how big of a problem is this in the industry? And what is there anything that AOPA can offer? Or is there any programs or any incentives short of what was your suggestion, Tom? Giving out his cell number to the
electric
listeners
shock
and have them
therapy.
Call him?
Yes, that sort of thing. So that, you know, just continually hounding people. Mm-hmm. I hear that it works from a marketing standpoint for a lot of things, and maybe we could put Greg right over the top if everybody was calling him and bugging him about it.
Yeah, the constant badgering really, you know, just makes me feel that people like me. You know, it's like at least they're talking to me, you know? So that doesn't really work as much on me as maybe the normal human being.
A normal person?
Exactly. But, I don't know. At least I got my head in the game. I'm talking about it. I am going to achieve this goal at some point. I might have to get through this next trip or two, you know. The summer's bad.
Last week it was this trip. Now it's this trip or two, Dennis. How about that?
Well, I'm going to Tokyo to tour the toilet museum in Tokyo, Japan. I kid you not. You're laughing. But I am going to the toilet museum. The
who
international
gives a crap?
Hey! Thank you. He'll be
Ba-dum-boom.
Here for the next 45 minutes. You know, I got that. And then I'm going to the Maldives to do some diving. And I'm also going to Alaska. So I got some crazy trips coming up.
Are you going to fly in a bush plane in Alaska?
I'm flying a helicopter for the first time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But once again, I'll be in the passenger seat on that one, too. But it'll be the first time I've ever been in a helicopter. I'll be able to tell you about that. So, see, I'm contributing to Just Plane Radio in some capacity. You guys are the pilots, and I'm the passengers. I'm giving that perspective, you know, from the people in the back of the plane sometimes. I'm covering that base as well as I possibly can.
But the whole show was dedicated to learning to fly.
Learning to fly.
Okay, well,
and the aviation lifestyle.
And I'm constantly
I think he's catering more to the aviation lifestyle.
Well, I'm learning to fly very, very slowly. You know, so it just takes time. But
how long did it take the Wright brothers? Long did they study birds?
Thank you, Tom. See?
Now,
he's got my back.
Great article. Got this was probably 2 years ago in AOPA flight training about nine habits to being a successful student in flight training.
Yeah.
So good that I reproduce it and give it to every customer that comes through our door.
I don't remember getting that.
Yes, I have given it to you too.
So nine?
Nine habits of successful, and one of them is train often.
Yeah.
You know, that you're supposed to, you know, study and you know, chair fly and, you know, so it's not like you haven't been given plenty of input on how to do it.
Right. But every week when we do Just Plain Radio, that's kind of like 60 minutes of air chair flying, isn't it? Chair flying. Right now we're chair flying, aren't we, guys? Hey, look at what's this loopity looped. No. Doesn't count.
Help, guys. I need help here.
It feels like we're about to stall.
Oh. Yeah, no. I feel the buffet coming.
No. No. We have one of those canards on the front of our plane. See, it won't let us. Won't let us. See, I know.
Oh, see.
Much.
Okay. There has learning been incurred. That canard. We can't stall.
That's right. See, it sinks in slowly over time.
Another banana.
Yeah. All right. So that's the best you got? That's the most you're going to throw at me, huh? But you guys are conspiring against me? Is that what you were doing at AirVenture?
But we actually drew a crowd. I mean, pretty much everybody who was there on Sunday was gathered around coming up with ideas on how it is we can get Greg in the cockpit.
Okay. Cattle prod, electroshock therapy.
Nothing was ruled out.
Yeah. Kidnapping.
Oh, brother. All right. Well, just give me time. That's all I need, time.
And we've given you plenty of that.
Yeah,
now it's
you've
time
had
for
that.
You to start using that time productively.
Wait, but
I believe the bet with Keith was by July, would learn how to swim and you would get your license finished.
Has he learned how to swim?
Well, I don't know. He's not here. We can't ask him.
No, he has not learned how to swim.
Are you sure?
If he had learned how to swim, we had been hearing about it by now. Hey, Greg, I can swim. Where are you at? And has he done that? No. So he doesn't know how to swim yet. But see, that's an easy fix. We can just, you know, throw him off a bridge over a lake or
he'll
river.
Learn quick.
Body of water. Yeah, exactly. So that'll take. That'll be like an instant type of thing.
I don't know. We could do the same thing with Greg.
We could throw him in the river.
Push me off of
I like
a building.
That. Push him off a building with an airplane. See if he flies.
He can fly. Yeah. Well, that would be one technique I wouldn't approve of. But yeah. Well, I appreciate the support because I know you guys mean this in a positive way, even though it sounds more abusive than anything constructive. However, I do. I know you want me to learn, and I know you're pushing me and trying to. And it'll happen. And someday we'll have a big celebration, a big party to celebrate the fact that I'm a private pilot, finally.
Now, at least for the trip in the airplane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Chair fly?
No. You're going
to. Wait a minute. I chair flied. I can't believe I didn't talk about this. I just got back from Atlanta on Sunday, and I chair flied.
Chair flew.
Chair
flew would be.
Okay. Yeah, it was in the past.
Grammar. Yeah.
But I did. I chair flied.
Putting the tray table down and pushing the buttons on the in-flight entertainment system.
Basically, when I take off and land in the plane, I kind of put my mind, you know, in the 172, and like I pull back, and then people look at me a little weird, and then I
was just about to tell you there's a way you can do some studying on the plane and start refreshing your knowledge. The Cessna course that we've used in your training, they now have a free, because so this is key, because that's also always what's good with Greg is it's got to be free.
Of course.
There's a free companion app that you can put on your iPad that will allow you to download the actual lessons, go through them again, even answer the questions, and when you come back, it'll upload your results. Anytime you get it within Wi-Fi, it'll upload the results to the web, to the King School server, and I would be able to track your progress and see how much you did on those flights.
Well, okay, hook me up, man. I'm bringing my iPad.
Where's your iPad? I'll download it while we're sitting here.
He's going to do this, and I'll be set on my way on my 11.5-hour flight from L.A. to the Tokyo Toilet Museum. And actually, I bet I'll get through.
Bets down on how much is going to get done along the way, because that might also help pay for the airplane rentals.
How many modules are there? Like one?
There's 10 phases.
All right, I'll get through one at least.
That's about 3 or 4 hours. You could get through two or three.
Two or three phases?
Yeah.
There's free movies on the plane, though. I mean, give me time to catch up on
this is free too.
Latest releases.
This is free, too. This is totally free and a much better use of your time.
Well, maybe.
Because you said, when I have time, you have time. You're not doing anything else sitting in that airplane.
Did you not hear what I just said? Free movies? Like, first run. Like, this is Singapore Air. It's going to have, like, the new Suicide Squad movie. I can check it out for free. Of course, it'll be a bootleg, and someone will get up in the middle of it. But, hey, you got to take the good with the bad.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
Is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed. Also, Dennis, and from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes helping us out on the big show today. All right, so have you hooked me up there, Ed, or what?
Well, I don't know your password, but I'm going to have to find that. But
okay.
So
well,
I can
we'll
show
get
you
my
how to
iPad loaded up so I can work on some of this flight
so
school
you can
stuff.
Study.
So I can study. Okay. Well, it's quizzes, right? Then I can memorize the answers.
No, it's the whole presentation that you went through before. So it'll be a complete overhaul and review of all the knowledge areas, which that's the beauty of the online training. It's always there to go back through.
And this will be easy. I easily remember 20% of what I learned before.
I just want to log in and see how much you really did the first time.
Oh, I did it all. from what I recall, at least about 20% of it.
Yeah,
all right, okay. So we'll get that worked out and covered accordingly on the big show. But Tom, we have not talked to Tom since Air Venture. And as much as I like, talking about me, we should probably talk more about some of the things he saw at the big show.
I like talking about me when it's on my terms, but not on yours, is what he's saying.
Yeah. Hello. What do you think? I'm dumb or something? Okay, don't answer. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
So, Tom.
Too easy.
Yeah. At AirVenture, what caught your eye this year at the big show? What do you think?
The big show, the biggest airplane of the big show was the Martin Mars, actually. That was one of the most interesting airplanes I saw at the show, for sure, even though there was a lot of really, really interesting airplanes, but a lot of big ones, too. But this one was pretty darn amazing. I know, Dennis, if you saw it dropping the water on the runway, very impressive.
Well, did they do that as part of the big night air show or something? Was that part of the Warbird thing or what?
Well, they did during the air show a couple of days during the weekend. The Martin Mars, of course, is this enormous seaplane designed to fight fire. I think originally it was designed as a troop carrier and later converted into a firefighting airplane. I mean, this thing has got a wingspan of 200 feet, about the same size as a Boeing 747. Hmm. It's got four 2,500 horsepower engines on it and a maximum gross weight of 145,000 pounds. And the coolest thing is, you know, it's a water bomber, so it picks up water on the fly. So it drops down on a lake and skims along the surface and picks up some 15,000 gallons of water in about 30 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
And carries that off to a fire and then drops it over the fire, obviously, and tries to put the fire out. So they were doing some of that dropping over the runway during the air show, but they were only dropping like 5,000 or 6,000 gallons, and only. Even that was impressive.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, I mean, was it hot at AirVenture this year, or was it fairly pleasant throughout the week, or what?
It was pretty hot the first couple of days, and then we had a couple of really cool days where you wanted a jacket on for most of the days with some scattered showers around, and then the end of the week was fantastic air show weather, just bright blue skies and nice little breeze, comfortable temps. It was a good time.
Yeah, but it never got hot enough where they think, hey, instead of the runway, why don't you just run it over the campground a little bit, wet things down just a tad, cool us off.
Keep the dust down.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bummer about it, though, was later in the week, after it had done its little routine over the runway at AirVenture, because remember, this airplane only lands on water and takes off from water, can't land on land because it's got no undercarriage, right?
Yeah.
So it did its little routine at AirVenture and then went back to the lake, Lake Winnebago, which is where the seaplane base is. And somewhere in there, it hit a bird and damaged one of the engines. So the guys put it down early on a part of the lake that they hadn't been on before, and Winnebago is a pretty shallow lake. Anyhow, they hit some rocks.
Mm.
So now we've damaged an engine on one of these 2,500 horsepower radial engines, which got to be hugely expensive to repair. And then they hit rocks and tore a hole in the hull of the airplane.
Hmm.
And so now the thing is sitting in the water, taking on water. And there, from what I'm told, there was a fear for a while they were going to lose the thing. It was actually going to sink till they got pumps going. It's got bilge pumps of its own. But then the fire department brought out a barge with a couple of big pumps on it. And when I happened to be out near it the next day, they had three jets of water, as big as your thigh, running out of this thing, full pressure, pumping out hundreds of gallons a minute from the hull of this airplane, trying to keep it afloat while they tried to figure out, where's the hole? And then when they found the hole, they had to send divers underneath to do a repair.
Wow.
So, Greg, there's a job you could be doing with your diving skills.
I could have helped them there if I would have came out to AirVenture this year.
Yep, 1-800-GREG the diver, yeah.
Yeah, Greg Dimes, that's me. Yeah, so, but they got it worked out, or have you heard? That was just
They did get it patched at least enough for now until they probably get it home. It's based out of British Columbia, and there they, of course, have facilities to get it up out of the water by kind of putting some wheels under the hull while it's sitting on the water, and then they winch it up out of the water up the ramp, and then they can get to the belly and that sort of thing, hopefully get it repaired.
Well, how big of a bird did they hit to cause this kind of damage? It had to be a pretty massive bird, I would think, if it's a big-ass plane like that.
Obviously the bird didn't bring it down. They just did kind of a precautionary landing because of damage to one of the engines, and that's where they got into trouble and hit some rocks.
Yeah, but they don't know what kind of bird it was. It wasn't like a flying ostrich or something.
It's a filleted bird.
Yes, it is now, for sure.
It is.
Interesting. Well, okay, and so you were over there and just happened to be there when they were pumping out everything and and learned about
that. Oh, well, twist my arm.
Tidbit.
If you want me to tell you about my albatross flight, I can do that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Okay. So albatross, right?
Albatross, what Jimmy Buffett had.
Oh, that right. The one they have over at Universal Studios.
Yeah. Okay.
The one they did at Pirate's Life at 50.
Yep.
Okay. So you flew in one of those amphibs?
Yeah. So we took off from Oshkosh, the airport, in an albatross, which is an amphibious one, so it can land on water or land.
Yeah.
And we took off from the airport and in this enormous old albatross that is beautifully restored and flew all the way to the seaplane base, which is about, 3 minutes, and touched down on the lake and anchored next to the Martin Mars. And one of our photographers got out on a boat, and they brought a boat up to the albatross, and he crawls out and anyhow motored around the two airplanes, taking pictures of the two airplanes kind of in formation on the water. But while he was doing that, we got to play around on the albatross, which you can get up on top of the wing, walk around. It's got a hatch on the top, it's got a hatch up on the nose, so you can go out up and
head
of the windshield.
Oh my gosh,
cool.
So you take the albatross and get on the top of the wing and use it as a dive deck.
Exactly.
Yep.
Oh man, I never thought about that.
You thought the Caravan was your airplane of choice, but you know you really need to look at an albatross or a Martin Mars for that matter.
The albatross, there's a group down in Fort Pierce that maintains them and has a couple of them that they fly.
Yeah, is it going to be cheaper or more expensive than a Caravan or a Quest Kodiak? You're laughing.
They're different worlds.
Different worlds. Old airplane with round engine that lands in the water.
Well, Jimmy Buffett has one of both, or he did. Well, I guess he still does.
Yeah, well, why do you think the albatross is at Margaritaville? It was either that or sell it.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, that it's a little more expensive.
I think he answered my question.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. That is Jimmy Buffett, the owner of an albatross at Margaritaville in Orlando, Universal Studios. And it's parked there because it's too damn expensive to fly. Is that the case, Ed, you think?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I don't know. Tom, you think that's the case, too, or what?
Well, it's too expensive for me to fly, I know that. But the fellow that owns the one that I was flying in actually owns two of them.
Ah.
And then if that weren't enough, he owns two Howard 500s, the enormous corporate airplane from the early 1960s with huge radial engines on it as well. So.
Wow.
So he's found a way to operate these things efficiently and economically.
No.
Or he has more money than God. Which one is it?
Second.
He just loves these old airplanes and keeps them going.
Okay. Yeah, I'm guessing it isn't very economical to operate. That thing's burning through fuel pretty much.
Let me put it this way. The Howard has, my Bonanza carries 74 gallons of gas.
Mm-hmm.
The Howard carries 74 gallons of oil.
Okay. Yeah, but it's bigger. It carries more stuff, doesn't it? Maybe a little bit, but not quite as efficiently.
Yeah, radial engines use a little bit more oil. So,
okay.
you measure them in gallons, not quarts.
All right, well, you can just take that out
and
of it and put in an electric hybrid motor. it uses the same shell. Yeah, or solar power, right.
Yeah,
which actually I hear was pretty prominent up there. They had the Sunflyer up there, if I heard correctly.
Did you see that, Tom? Did you check it out?
I did, yeah. I did check it out a little bit. It's a cool little airplane. It's got potential, particularly as a trainer. So, Greg, did we talk about you learning to fly at all?
Hey, there's an airplane he can learn to fly, because he needs to know in there is, you know, put the throttle forward and put the throttle back, and no carb heat, no mixture control.
No gas.
No gas.
Yeah, I like it.
Just plug it in?
It almost might be cheap enough that he'd fly it.
You think?
Not free, though.
Well, why not? It's powered by the sun. Why the hell would I have to pay anybody anything?
Okay.
It's, powered by nature. And it sounds like a good deal for me. We'll get back on course here in just a bit. Stay close to Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
They might tell you you're on a non-stop flight. Well, I don't think I care for that. No, I insist that my flight stop, preferably at an airport. It's those sudden, unscheduled cornfield and housing development stops that seem to interrupt the flow of my day.
So fly with me. Yeah, fly with me. 30,000 in the skies, where you trying to be? I can take you to a place that is so exclusive. It's a view that only me, you, and the pilot see. As the clouds surround us and drown out all the troubles and sounds, touch down in the town. Open your eyes, be astounded by the sights all around. They are incredible. Itinerary printed out, baby. I'm way ahead of you.
Word. Yes, that's what the kids say these days. I think they still say that. Don't they, Ed? Do they?
I don't know.
We're just trying to stay hip. With their jive,
I know is they play that Pokemon game now.
Yes,
my son played it when he was young, and now he's going to be 21 here shortly, and now he's playing it again. Except it's on his phone instead of on a little box.
Wait till we start getting the news reports that pilots are doing it in their airplanes.
Well, I saw something on the news about a guy doing it in a boat to find rare Pokemon. He's taking people out on a charter boat and on Pokemon cruises. So I need to look into this, see if this is a air charter option.
It's going
to
happen.
To, you know, the Pokemon flight to get the rare flying Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. They'll start using drones to go find their Pokemon. That'll create problems. Don't get me started. All right, let's find out. More constructive aviation news and information from Tom Haines from AOPA. He was at Air Venture. You know, he's telling us about these cool seaplanes he was checking out. But you got to do something really different this time and actually get into the control tower there at Air Venture in Oshkosh. Is that what happened, Tom?
I did. Got the opportunity to go up in the air traffic control tower, which that week they claim it is the busiest tower in the whole world.
Yeah.
So hard to believe, but little Oshkosh, because you can bet the rest of the year, the other 51 weeks of the year, that is not the case. But
right. But it is a
very
lot
busy
of planes that come
it is.
There.
Yeah. 10,000 airplanes in the region for that week.
Now, the last time I was at Oshkosh, this is going back to about 1991.
Yeah.
I was up there, went to the show. A week later, I came back up, flew an instrument cross-country, was the customer of... And we landed in there, and oh my gosh. Went to the museum. It was great. It was a ghost town.
Yeah.
Could not believe in 1 week how much had just disappeared.
Hmm. Yep. Well, there you go. But if you're there during Air Venture, if you're in the tower, I mean, just watching.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
From the ground, you see all the planes coming in, and you think, like, gosh, if you're not a real experienced pilot, this would be quite a nightmare. And I don't know, did they have any incidents? I usually have a little bit here and there. I didn't hear anything, but hopefully everything was relatively safe this year. But
there were always a couple of incidents.
Yeah. Like
Moody had a gear up, and then there were a couple of accidents of airplanes in the region that were headed to the show. But, you know, when you put 10,000 airplanes, that percentage of the fleet all in one region, you know, if they were out just flying anywhere, you would have a certain number of incidences the airplanes, no matter where they were.
Now, so was there I saw a video of a A-26 World War II attack bomber having a nose gear clap. Was that at Oshkosh or was that another air show?
That one I did not see at Oshkosh.
Okay, it might not have been.
Could have been there.
Yeah, they didn't have any bombings going on there at Air Venture outside of the air show, did they?
No.
Okay. You're talking about a different kind
of incident. About an airplane that had a nose gear collapse on landing.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just saying. That would be kind of cool, though, if they did that.
It wasn't on purpose.
Yeah.
But there's a video. Go out and watch it.
Yeah. So, but you were up there, and what caught you? Well, I don't know. What kind of perspective can you give us? Is it as nutty as it seems, or does it seem like it's run like a fine-oiled machine?
Well, it's definitely run like a fine-oiled machine most of the week, and we were actually up there during the air show. And during the air show, the air boss, who is on the ground, actually controls the airspace. So no arrivals and departures for the most part during the air show, and so that's all handled by an air boss who manages the airspace and coordinates all of the air show traffic, the ones involved in the air show. But it's a great place to see the show and just really the whole perspective of how big AirVenture is, the campgrounds, everything. You can see it all really well from the tower. And then we were up there when the Canadian Snowbirds were flying, and boy, that was amazing because they're coming right at the tower. You're looking at them from eye level, and they come right at the tower, trailing smoke, all the lights on. And from the ground, you don't get to see the lights so much, and you just don't get that sense of them coming right at you. And then, of course, they split before they get to the tower.
Hopefully.
But it's impressive.
Yeah.
And the snowbirds in general, I got to say, the snowbirds were really cool. It was just remarkable what they can do with those little Tudor jets and how smoothly they fly. It's very poetic watching them fly those airplanes.
Yeah. My perspective of what it would be like up there in the tower is like that scene from Airplane. You know, the guy's, it's a bad day to quit smoking.
Right.
You know,
right.
Stop calling me sniffing glue.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not quite like that, I guess. They are a little bit more in control.
Yeah, they're a little bit more in control.
Okay. I don't know. I know a lot of controllers. It's not that far off.
But you know, the controllers volunteer from all over the country for the opportunity to go work that show, and they do these. They move around, rotate. They're in the tower, and then they have controllers stationed around the region on the procedure. The Fisk arrival, they call it, and so they've got controllers out miles away from the airport, helping to funnel traffic in, and they're all there on the ground with binoculars and radios, mm-hmm. communicating with the aircraft who are arriving into the area and following the procedure and giving them guidance, if you will. So it's pretty amazing how they get 10,000 airplanes into that region.
Yeah, well, and
back out again safely.
It's like Sun and Fun too, where they say you're not supposed to talk to the tower. Only let us talk to you, right? And then you tip your wing in acknowledgement, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's where Sun and Fun got the procedures from. Those are Oshkosh procedures for years, and Sun and Fun just mirrored it.
Yeah. You didn't fly in yourself, I guess, did you, Tom?
I did not. I've done that before, and everybody should do it once. Check that box, and then go to Appleton.
Yeah. All right. So it's something you have to mark off the list for sure.
Yeah. No, it's an experience.
Yeah. So I mean, what else did you learn? Anything else other than it was just the best seat in the house being up there, or did you talk to some of the air traffic controllers for AOPA live, or were you just up there enjoying yourself?
No, we were just enjoying the view, taking pictures and all that sort of thing, and having a good time. But they're really nice folks, and they're really happy to be there. Again, most of them wait years for the opportunity to get a chance to go there. And then you're only allowed to be there 5 years, and then they cycle you out because they want to give opportunity to others. So 5 years is the most you can stay.
What, to be up there in the tower to work?
Mm-hmm.
To volunteer?
For that week. Yeah, that
for
week.
That week.
Yep.
So it's that job, which is free, do they get paid?
Yeah, they get paid. They volunteer in the sense that they want the opportunity to go for that assignment.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
And that is a rather touchy subject when you talk to Jack Pelton at EA about it.
Yeah.
Because 3 years ago, they were held over the barrel. The FAA mandated that the EA had to pay for the extra controller service.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so the AEA is now reimbursing the government for the controllers. And in one of the things I saw, they're concerned that the with these fees that it's going to cause infrastructure improvements that they want to do to keep the show going that they're not going to be able to do that because they're having to funnel money away from improving the grounds and the facilities into paying for the ATC service that they never used to have to pay for.
Hmm. Is that what you're hearing too, Tom, from your sources?
Yeah, that's definitely the case. And as I recall, it's somewhere between $500,000
to
$600,000. Yeah.
Ouch. Is the charge for the extra air traffic services for that week when, at the end of the day, these people are flying in airspace and using services that are paid for by the fuel fee or the fuel taxes that we pay every time we put gas in the airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're all coming together in that one location, why does that necessarily drive up the cost? because those same people might be out flying somewhere else in the country,
right?
And taking advantage of it. So, you know, it's hard to justify. It's really a form of user fees, which of course we've been opposing forever. But this one really snuck in and has been so far confined to only a couple of the largest air shows. But we and EAA, of course, are watching that like very carefully to make sure that it doesn't span beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I say. Got the third class medical reform done. Now it's go back and focus on keeping user fees away.
Yeah,
that's right.
And figuring out a way to cover that nut for these air shows so they can spend it on more important like turtlets.
Just raise the rent on the federal pavilion and all the FAA exhibit space that they have there to cover increased air traffic control costs.
Oh, wow. Here's an idea. See, Dennis should run for office. You think?
Dennis for president.
Maybe.
There you go.
Work. All right.
Please. Can't be any worse than the other choices.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Before we get too political, we'll
Without
take a
key.
Break. Yeah. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
You're turning green and wishing the boat would stop a rocking. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share some tips on how to avoid seasickness next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Seasickness ruins diving trips, vacations, and travel for many. Everyone is susceptible, and there are hundreds of gadgets, procedures, medicines, herbs, foods touted as cures. The truth is, we really don't know how to prevent it. However, you can reduce the risk by being rested, nourished, and hydrated. If you're feeling apprehensive, avoid eating a couple hours before you embark. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Off with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
Spread your wings and fly away. Fly away. Far away. Pull yourself together, cause you know you should do better. That's because you're.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Dennis. And from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes helping us out today on the big show. Dennis and Tom both hanging out at Air Venture in Oshkosh and sharing some of the little tidbits that they picked up along the way. And I don't know, acting as our...
surrogates.
It went from men on the flight path
to flight line.
Flight line. Okay, surrogates.
Because we're living vicariously through them.
Okay, we're doing that somewhat, I guess. That's fair enough. You guys will accept that, I guess, right?
I will.
Okay.
I will accept that.
All right.
So, it's a mission of my life to live vicariously for you.
Well, thank you.
Well, you landed on an aircraft carrier. You flew an F-18 simulator. Tom, I want your job, okay?
True.
He's got a pretty good gig.
Yeah, he does.
I do, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I won't argue with that.
Now, at Air Venture, did you pick up any little tidbits for yourself, for your own little flying enjoyment, or is it all business?
Sure. I did manage to sneak out on the weekend when it was not quite so busy and do a little shopping. Yeah. So,
That Army surplus tent, didn't you?
Yeah, you got me. I got the camo.
They have so much cool stuff in that one place, in that one tent. You can get all these little tool gizmos and a cool Army hat or whatever. I mean, I guess it's Air Force, right? I don't know. It's camo. It's all kinds of crazy stuff in that thing. But they bargain basement prices. It is price to go. And last week, Dennis said that if you go on the last day, that's when you really score. Did you get into that tent? Did you see that tent, Dennis? Dennis?
Oh, I saw a bunch of the stuff at the fly markets.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, you could get anything. We had a problem with the camper with a cable connecting between the two batteries, and we were able to go and walk through the fly market and actually go find a battery cable.
That's right. You can get that and thousands of different
sizes. The Winnebago outlet.
Exactly.
Bungees and stuff like that. Anyway, I digress. Okay. Maybe it's just me. I get excited about that type of stuff. But what did you get, Tom? What did you find for your
It's really exciting. Are you guys sitting down? Because this is really going to excite you. I want to tell you what it is that I bought.
We never move, so of course, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What? I went to Aircraft Spruce, and I bought, are you ready?
Okay.
An oil filter cutter.
An oil filter cutter?
You bet, man.
Wow. I didn't even think those existed.
Yep. Yep, yep.
I thought they just twist on.
So I'm the proud, owner now.
I don't think he understands what it is or why you need one.
Yeah. Well, an oil filter.
So we need to educate him.
Unscrews from the chassis of the engine, right?
Yeah,
it does. But then, you want to know what's inside that filter, right? Because you want to make sure that metal is showing.
Oh. No, actually.
Not in your airplane. You want to find out if there's any metal in there. So
every
cut
time you change
the oil. Open.
Yeah, you're supposed to look in the filter and cut it open, see if there's any metal goo in there.
Yep.
Right.
I leave that to people like my mechanic. Hello?
Well, but an owner, that's a job that an owner could do on their own airplane. They can change the oil, and that's something you would want, if you're doing that, you want to know.
If there's any oil or metal shards or things.
And that's a sign that the engine is getting close to overhaul.
Mm. Well, that was the problem with Doc, wasn't it? Didn't they find some oil or metal shards in the bottom of the pan and that delayed Doc flying out to Oshkosh? Didn't we cover that a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think they had an oil chip indicator light, so they have something in the engine that's actually a switch that must have like a magnet or something that if it gets too many chunks,
Or, well, maybe they should get an oil filter cutter.
I'm sure they have.
Or they could, now they know they can just borrow Tom's. So,
that's right. I'll loan it to them because they only have four engines to deal with on that thing.
Right.
I don't believe they have filters. I believe they have screens in those.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah, they didn't have paper filters in that day and time.
Okay. So that's why you need a oil filter cutter is to make sure you don't have any metal goo or not goo.
Yes, and I've already got the magnet. I bought that one other year at Oshkosh. So you cut it open. Kind of stretch out the paper, and then you take your little magnet and run down in between the little folds in the paper.
Yeah.
And make sure that if it picks up any chunks of metal, you want to be looking at those and making sure that it's, well, hopefully there are none, but if there are any, they're really tiny.
Oh, my God, there's a screw! I can understand that.
Well, we know where it came out of.
Yeah, right.
There's a screw loose somewhere in this studio.
What are you guys talking about? All right, what about you, Dennis? Do you pick up anything like that? Any personal
tidbits? Actually, I struck out.
Free stuff. Swag.
Well, that, but I headed over to Aircraft Spruce and Specialty as well. We had a need for a new light bulb in the dash of our Cessna, and it looks like they've stopped making that now. So now we're having to look at how to retrofit for LEDs.
Mm. Well, that's probably good.
That's not a bad thing.
That's better for the planet. Yeah.
Now, I'd never liked the light setup. It's called fiber light, and it's one light bulb with 8 fiber optic threads that go out to the different instruments. But if that one light bulb burns out, you've lost all of your instrument lights. Mm. Now you reside to just having the floodlight. Yeah. So I like the idea. The new fiber light system is actually using 3 separate LED light sources. So if you were to have an LED fail, which is unlikely, you'd only lose 1/3 of the instruments. Probably the ones you needed at the time, but at least you'd have some of them.
A Christmas light display. Yeah, if one light goes out, right. They all go out. Duh! So, yeah, you need to upgrade. And, you know, and if you want to really want to go on the cheap, just get one of those Christmas light strands. Throw it in there, yeah, you'll be good to go.
Something about certified airplanes and uncertified components. Yeah, we're not going to go there.
UV certified or UL certified.
To do it right, though, is actually affordable.
They're LED lights, and they're battery operated. Yeah. They're not permanently mounted in your airplane.
Okay. Right.
And, you know, if it's not Christmas, they just become party lights. Greg has them all over his house.
Hello. How do you think we see here in the studio? Come on.
Party.
Yeah, absolutely. We got our little string of party lights going. Little margarita glasses that light up, and they flash if I put on the blinker. I don't do that very often because that puts Ed into an epileptic seizure. But
does the FAA know about that?
No.
No. It wasn't for public consumption. All right, we'll end it on that. Should have actually ended it a long time ago. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.